This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
On this episode of Two Dudes, One Cart, John and I sit down and talk about off-season plans. What do you do? What do we do? Sit back, relax, and enjoy this episode of the Two Dudes, One Cart podcast. And as always, thank you for listening. All right, everybody. I know you were all wondering when it was going to happen, when the boys were going to get back together. So, John, let's give the fans what they want. How are you doing tonight?
Oh, dude, I'm doing wonderful.
How's life? How's work? How's everything been going?
You know, everything is going the way the big man upstairs wants it to go.
That's good. That's the way. I would like to say that we're in pleasurable weather. Unfortunately, we are not. I know that some people get all their weather reports from the Two Dudes, One Cart podcast, and we haven't been given to them lately. I can tell you right now, frigid, not golf weather, but apparently we're going to get some more here in the next couple of days. The temperatures are going to rise back up. Now, it's eventually going to get to those temperatures. At what point that is, we don't know.
Saturday. I'm thinking of around 9:06. It'll be pleasant enough for me to golf at Yulin Country Club.
They're still open, eh?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
That's great. I didn't know if they were shutting her down yet or not. I know a lot of courses have, but I know a lot of members have been saying, hey, wait a minute, we still have good weather. Let's not close it down too soon.
Yeah, I think if they just play it by ear, they're still going to run carts. 9 o'clock tee time, although this past weekend when it was, you know, got up to 60, we had a half hour, frost delay. So we didn't tee off till about 9:40.
Right.
Which is still fine. Lets me sleep in an extra half hour.
Yeah, well, you got to take the winds where you can get them.
Oh, yeah.
So, John, I thought we would talk about, we kind of talked about this last year when we got around this point in time, and I think it's kind of cool to sit down and talk about where we think our games are or were for this past season, and what you might be working on or what you might want to work on in the off season, what I might want to work on in the off season, and just an overall generalization of what people should work on in the off season. Obviously I did a little reading and I thought it was going to be a higher number since we're golfers.
Yep.
But John, what's your rough guess of golfers that go right in the off season? They have all these plans. This is what they want to do. What do you think the percentage is of golfers that actually follow through with those off-season plans?
Yeah, probably 10 to 20% only, I would assume.
Okay.
I think it's pretty low. I mean, I doubt many people actually have a formal plan. They probably haven't put pen to paper, wrote it down, made it visible, put it on their fridge, and are looking at it every day when they wake up, right? But there are, I would say, a majority of people that are, their game plan is just to play around in the sim, keep their swing loose, maybe take a couple lessons. I would say that's probably the majority, but a committed detailed plan, probably very, very few.
Yeah, it was hard to get down to that point as far as, like you said, commit a detailed plan. But I was fairly shocked that from what I found, roughly 25% to 40% follow through. If they, now this is if they put together some kind of plan.
Yeah, that makes sense.
A lot of what you're saying is true. You got a lot of people that are just, shooting from the hip, work keeping their swing lube. So obviously this isn't encompassing every golfer. So if you've got the, like you said, if you've got 15%, 20% maybe of all the golfers that are hardcore, I
Yeah.
would say roughly 10 to 15% of those are actually going to stay committed and stay with their plan. The other thing I thought was pretty wild was that it was at 85% for professionals.
Really?
I thought, if it's your living, I thought it might be a
Yeah.
little higher than that. I was shocked. I was thinking more it was like a 90 percentile mark, but when I read that, I was like, okay,
Yeah,
all right,
that's kind of crazy. I
they're
guess.
like us, they're one of us.
I think they're definitely. If you look at like the John Daly types of the world, or maybe like the Harry Higgs, like what are they really dealing? But even though, I think like a Neil Shipley, like he's probably grinding this winter to get his game right.
Yeah, and I think that that's a big part of it when you, especially if you got guys that are on the cusp, so to speak, or maybe they're on the verge of not keeping their card or whatever. There's going to be a little more effort, especially if they go somewhere, TPI, for instance, and they say, if you just do this, you're going to gain, 4 or 5% in club head speed with for a guy with your talent level or whatever. As long as you have some sort of motivation, and I think that's the hardest part, obviously, for anybody is starting. We've talked about this before. If you don't jump in and get started and you don't go, I got to get these supplements, or I have to get this, or I need to get that, and you keep putting all these steps in your way, you might as well face it, you're never going to get there. It's never going to happen.
I mean, it's like the acronym SMART, right? You got to have specific, manageable goals that are easily defined and measurable. Otherwise, like if you overcomplicate it, you're never, like you said, there's too many things to get in your way. But if you're just trying to wing it and don't have any plan, then you probably won't even start. So you got to have, I think, some simple, bulleted items, like pick 4 to 6 things that you want to work on. Like for me this year, I don't have as many because I don't necessarily like have any index goals that I'm trying to get down to. I'm at a 5.7 index currently. I'm happy with that. I was higher earlier this year at like an 8. But my goals are pretty simple. I want to get 6 lessons this winter. So from November to the end of March, I want to have 6 lessons. So it's basically one a month. And then I would like, my other goal is to increase my mobility. So that's maintaining my stretching routines and that nature, which I think will lead to club head speed being more mobile. And then I would like to really just hone in like my 130 and in shot, probably 120 to 80 yard shot, somewhere in there, and get my dispersion to like, I don't know. I don't know what it's, I have to measure it because I don't know what my average is. So I
Right.
probably could go do the TrackMan combine, wedge combine, and see where it's at. And then see, based off that starting line, like how can I cut that dispersion in half?
Right.
So if I'm at a 12% dispersion, get it down to a 6 or whatever the case may be. I don't know where I'm at, but I can go see Jeremy Allen. I can do a wedge combine, get me my stats of where my current wedge game's at, from 130, 120 in, and then go from there. But that's basically about it really for me. Maybe lose some weight so I'm not such a fat ass, but
Yeah, that's what I think
those
of
belt
when I.
smalls are hitting, get a little snug around the whole waist.
That's what I think of when I see you, John, is fat ass. That's
Yeah.
exactly what you're. So, what's that? Is that mobility work, or is that something you're doing every evening, every other evening, or are you something
No,
you put together
it's
for
a
running?
everyday Monday through Friday thing where I actually have to get up in the morning, and it takes me about 20 minutes to go through my TPI stretching routine that I got from when I did my assessment. It's nine total exercises, reps of three. They're simple. I can do it right here in my living room. I don't need any weights for it, just one of those bands, and that's it.
Yeah, and that, I think that's huge. That's what I do. Most of mine is not in the morning. I try to do some workouts in the morning, but I try to do my mobility before I go to bed, because there's to me it's very a lot relaxing to kind of get a good stretch in and then lay down, and you're comfortable. And but yeah, I think that's stuff you always have to work on. Now, as you progress, into let's say you get to your fourth lesson where you're starting to get the itch, man, because we're getting by that fourth lesson, the season's getting closer. I'm assuming you're probably taking one a month. You'll probably pick up the pace there towards the as the season gets closer. Now, are you going to be trying to dial in your bag yardages? You know, are you going to start from four and work your way down and go, hey, I got kind of a Jeremy, I got a little gap in between my whatever your pitching wedge and your gap wedge, or you're gonna work on that stuff, or you
No.
just keep what you got and move
I'm
on?
like, oh yeah, I just really want to dial in 130 and under. I mean, 130 to 80. I just get so disappointed this year and how many, especially at Yulin, since it's not that long, how many 130 to 80 yard approach shots I have where I either one just don't hit the green at all, or I'm either long or short or left or right of center of the green, and it's just, I think if I could just dial that dispersion in by half, obviously it'll increase my chances of making pars and birdies.
Yeah, and for those people that might be listening that aren't familiar with Yulin, you're not talking. John's not aiming at massive greens by any means. You're also more or less staying below the pin. So if you average that out, John, let's just take for familiarity purposes for myself, 'cause on hole one, if you miss that green, say the pin's in the middle. What's that? I mean, even if let's say you're in the fringe, what's that, 25 feet? Is that a bit longer
Probably
than that?
no, yeah, it's probably never going to be deeper than 30 feet off the front edge. And then you probably have 40 to 50 feet of width max.
Right. So if you put the pin in the middle and you're landing off into the rough, you're still only 25 foot. It's
Yeah,
not like you're in a
25, 30
huge,
max, probably.
I don't want anybody thinking that you're like 90 feet left to the pin. You're within your handicap distance from the pin for the most part. Do you want to land on the green? Well, of course you do, but it's not like you have some massive dispersion where
I
you're
mean, it
so
might,
far
I mean,
off.
most of the greens are probably 50 by 50
Yeah,
max.
I'd say. Yeah.
You can't really have over a 50 foot putt at Elon, maybe a couple of greens, the
Yeah,
longer
you
your ones.
definitely have a little bit more depth in most than you do and than width. But yeah, I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that you're not whiffing by yardages by massive amounts. So how will you? So what's your overall goal, though? Are you gonna say you're gonna go in there and you're gonna try to get everything within a
Well,
let's say 15 feet out of 10 out of 8 out or 9 out of or 7 out of 10 that
yeah.
been
So I
15?
think it's gonna have to be an average. So I want to see where my average dispersion is at right now. I don't know that. I'm assuming I'm plus or minus 20 feet of a pin location, let's say. So left or right, I could be within 15 to 20 feet either way. So if I have a 130 yard shot, I could be, 20 feet right of the pin or 20 foot left.
Okay.
That's just a guess. I don't have any data to back that up, but that's what the wedge combines for. But if that's the case, I would like to dial that in so I'd have about a plus or minus 10 or 12 feet left or right accuracy.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, and I mean it's not that we're talking about you're going to be pin seeking on everything, but you want to make sure you're on the
Yep.
green, reasonable chance at birdie, sometimes a little further, but you're not
Yep.
asking for,
Yep.
perfection. You're just asking for
Yeah. I mean, and after I look at the
consistency.
data, yeah, it might be plus or minus 15. You know, maybe I'm at 22 feet right now, left or right. Maybe I just get more realistic and say, all right, let's just try to hit 15 feet left or right of the pin. So total like 30 feet of dispersion potentially.
So right now, if you had to be 100% honest with yourself, would you say that it's just inconsistent strikes, or are you pulling, pushing?
Yeah,
What do you
well, I
think it is
mean,
right now?
both. I mean, I would say I pull more than anything on those shots.
Yeah.
And then a lot of them are deaccelerations on wedges. So I'm either short or left, probably most of the time. You know, of the misses, majority of the misses will be left or short.
How much of that, to me, from my perspective, I feel anytime I decelerate, it's because I just don't have confidence at that distance. And your mind's kind of going, I feel like I took too much of a backswing here. I'm not
Yep.
gonna, I'm gonna overshoot the green, or then all of a sudden your body's coming up, you're dropping down, you're chunking, or
Yep.
something that lines is going on.
Yeah. I mean, I like having full numbers or full swings
Right.
with wedges. So, I mean, that's why I like 130 because I can know I can hammer a pitching wedge and my actual true distance, not with roll, carry distance, is anywhere between like 120 and 130. Right. And then if I pull out the 50 degree, then I know that's my, 110 to 120 club. And then 100 to 110 is my 54. And then, 58 right now is it, for some reason I can get that up to 105. I have no idea how. It's my best striking wedge in the bag, but anywhere from, 75 to 100, somewhere in there, in good conditions, no wind type of thing.
Now, do you feel like you could have any gains by having somebody kind of fit your wedges for the turf that you're playing on? Maybe it's a
Yep.
bounce thing or a grind thing. Is that something you might look at in the off season? If you feel like you're striking them well and you're getting
Yeah.
in between whatever 2 and 5 of grooves and.
Yep. Yeah. So, I mean, I got fit for my wedges from Brad Fellers this year, those ping wedges. So I have three different grinds with my wedges based on the shots I like to hit. I would say, like my 54 is probably my most universal grind, like all around grind. My 50 is set up with more of an iron grind because I'm not really chipping with that club per se. I'm always taking
Right.
full swings. And then my 60 probably has the most grind on it because it allows me to open it up flat and still has a lot more workability than the other two do. So. Which is kind of fun, and finally got my chipping game back the last quarter, fourth quarter of the season here. Finally starting to feel comfortable with a wedge in my hand around the greens. But I switched to almost primarily all 58 degree around the greens, unless I have a easy, pitch and run, if the pin's in the back. So besides that, I feel pretty confident with a wedge in my hand to at least get it within the 12, 10 to 12 feet.
How much does it shock you when you hit that? Like, for instance, I was playing with, I don't know if Justin was playing or not, but we were at Purgatory. Oh, actually, he wasn't there, but we were playing at Purgatory, and I had like a 70-yard shot right to the pin. And I just did one of those Steve Stricker, just straight back, straight through, no real wrist hinge or anything. And just clipped it and stopped it right at the hole,
Yep.
with a 60.
Yeah.
And I would never in a million years try, I would never feel like I could do that with any other club. And
Yeah.
it kind of shocks me that I can do that with a 60 from that distance. And like you said, it some reason I normally hit that club really well, but then when I get to, I really want to use my 54 is anywhere from 70 beyond that. If it's kind of a just a dead swing Stricker style chip, I'm gonna anything beyond that, I'm going to that club. But I don't nearly have the confidence in that I do in that 60 from that range,
Yeah,
which
I mean,
seems crazy.
I did that on the back nine at Elon. My irons and wedges shot like a 44 on the front, 37 on the back. 10, I hit it to basically tap in birdie from like 120 out. And I just knew if I just pured my 50, it's like the perfect carry distance. And it landed 2 feet from the cup. And just one thing I do would say is, which helped me with that, is those Maxfly golf balls right now do not spin like crazy, where like if I hit a good 50 with a Pro V1, I get 3 to 4 feet backspin. I'm not ripping them off the greens, but these Maxflies hit and just stop, almost like a dead ball once it hits, which is, I love it.
Yeah, I can't. Everybody I talk to, I can't say enough about those golf balls.
Yeah.
It's shocking, and I can also say that the cover, the way the ball is built, and especially my game, I can attest to how much abuse those balls take, and they
Yep.
do not. It takes a lot to
They
screw up
hold
those
up really
balls.
well. They feel a little bit more clicky than a, and the sound is a little bit more clicky than a Pro V1. Doesn't have that soft sound, or maybe as a soft as a feel. But when you compress them, man,
Oh yeah.
they feel good. Like I said, I wasn't a huge spinner of the golf ball with the wedges, like where I'm ripping them back 10, 15 feet or having to worry about ripping them off the green, but they would seem like I'd always spin them with a wedge when I didn't want them to spin. And then, opposite of that, I could never get it right. So now with the Maxfly, I feel confident wherever I hit it, it's gonna hit, bounce maybe a foot or two with a wedge in my hand and just stop right there.
What do you think your yardages is? And we don't have to go through the whole bag, but I'm saying let's go. I don't know how many chips or you might be hitting from out in the fairway with like a 9 iron. So I guess let's just say pitching wedge on down. What do you feel like the most confidence in when you go pitching wedge and you start working down through your bag yardage distance wise, comfortable
Yeah, I mean,
distance?
if you give me 80 yards, I'm gonna nail that. I feel like I'm gonna hit that probably the most accurate, because that's a full 58, slightly open. If I'm sitting up on the in the fairway or first cut preferably, it's like I'm gonna get it on the green.
What do you think your numbers are, just yardages pitching wedge on down? I could
Well,
say to,
pitching wedge, we talked about it a little bit. It's 120 to 130. 110 to 120 with the 50, and then 100 to 110 with the 54, and then I can get up to 100 yards with the 58 if I need to. Probably wouldn't. I'd probably still go down. I'd probably go 54, probably go down to like 90 to 110. I'd probably have a 20 yard shot I can do with that one, and then everything below that's 60 or 58.
Yeah, how often are you really getting after it though with the 58? Are you gonna, if you have, I know you would like if there's a tree in your way and you know you can just fly it right over the tree with the
Yeah.
58,
I use that
but
58 a lot at Elon, because
oh
you're
yeah,
at 6,300 yards.
right.
I can tell you on hole three, the par five, after I hit my second shot, I'm going to have most likely 105 and in on most days. So that's a 58. Hole four, I'm hitting a driver down there to 100 and in. Hole seven, I'm gonna have 100 and in. And then let's see, 10, if I cut the corner, I'm going in with this 54. 11, 54. 16. Yeah, so I mean, there's like seven holes right there that I'm using a 58 to come in at.
Really? So if you're at 100 yards, that you're going to take that 58 out
Yeah,
and
as long as there's no wind, like
right.
I'm gonna close the club face a little bit on the 58 plate. Instead of in the middle of my stance, I'm gonna put it halfway between middle and back. Probably closer to the heel of my right foot, inside the heel of my right foot, and then yeah, just almost kind of feel like I'm playing like a little draw swing
Right.
with the wedge.
So how much of your practice, because I know it's going to be I discovered with a lot of my problems here towards the end of the season of things that I do that I don't know, I just couldn't figure out why I was doing them, and all of a sudden I just figured them out on the range one day. But how much are you going to spend your time on just your posture, your grip, and your alignment? Are you going to spend any time in your off season kind of working on that? You know, kind of your
Probably not
routine.
with grip or posture. I will use my alignment sticks
Right.
just because I will use the perfect practice
Yeah.
angled stick
Tour
thing,
aim.
tour aim.
Yep.
So I do have that, but grip is. I thought about getting one of those plastic perfect grips that you can slide over your grip so you line it up the same every time. I know Scotty uses that. It seems like so dumb. Like, why shouldn't we have been doing this all along? So I might venture to that, but yeah, no, nothing on posture, but definitely alignment for sure this year.
Yeah, I figured that was going to be your answer. You're one of those guys that are like, I think in the back of your head, like, I'm not going to mess with it. It always comes around. Like, I don't, if
Yep.
I'm afraid if I spend too much time on it that I'm going to screw it up, because we're similar in some aspects to where we kind of want to see where we're at when we get on back on the course on the grass. And
Yep.
it's totally different feeling than when you're in the sim and hitting balls, and
Yeah.
the environment when you get out there and you just kind of start hitting it and filling the turf under the club. And
Yeah. Yeah, because I mean, even in like the TrackMan, like practice mode versus the TrackMan sim, I feel like it's different. You know, I'll get like carry conditions like on the practice side, and then I'll go play the sim, and then it normalizes level of, you know, altitude and everything
right.
else, and then you have some wind and stuff. So I feel like I have to like almost play a cut with my driver on the simulator, but when I'm practicing, I just play my regular straight and little draw that I have going on now, which is
Yeah,
weird.
I think we're both a little bit similar in that too. I think you get a little bit more into it, I guess is the right term, when you're doing like the combines, when you're trying to dial it in, because it's like you want to hit all that stuff and you don't have to start over. You don't want to keep, you want to get all those yardages all dialed in, and you're kind of gamifying it basically. Not that golf's not a game already, but when you
Yeah.
have specific targets you're trying to hit, it kind of changes the game, dials in your focus a little bit.
Yep, I would say that's 100% accurate.
So what do you think if you were talking to somebody that maybe this is their third or fourth or fifth year in the golf, and they're like, "Hey John, what do you do in the off season? What do you think are like five things that I really should work on?" What would those five things be? What advice would you give on
Yeah,
those
well,
five?
I tell them don't pick up golf. Give it up so we get more tee times back in 2026. But if you are going to pick it up, I want you to play faster. So, I mean, I would probably tell them don't hit your driver in the sim.
Right.
Probably work on literally wedges and irons. That's
Yeah.
the only thing I'd pick up. And I probably would tell most people probably don't go over a 7 iron. Like, don't even like. Get 160, 150, maybe 175, and in however far your stock 7 iron is, and get that dialed in. Like, just get used to those clubs, have those clubs be your favorite.
Yeah, I think, and I'm sure you'd say, work on your mobility. That stuff's huge. I would have the same thing. Like, I don't I don't get much, I don't really like playing on the simulator, but I don't mind getting on there doing the combines and doing the range, and that's all I do is I'll work on my just the distances and so on like that.
Yeah.
Just I might hit a few 4 irons, 5 irons, just to see where they're where what the feel's like. And like you said, just getting down to mostly 7 irons. Sometimes I just stay with eight and go 8 on down and just
I've
dial in
been
my
doing
yard
eight
just.
iron at the range, even outside. I literally only hit my 50 and my eight iron. I don't hit any other club when I'm at Yulin. I go hit that, start off with the 50, hit 10 to 12 with the 50, hit 10 to 12 with the eight iron, and I feel good.
Yeah, that's almost the same. Normally, I just go, I carry. I mean, if I'm outside on the range, I will take my driver and my 5 wood, but I normally just go 6, 8, 50.
Yep.
And that's all I'll take to the range, and I'll just hit those because six is long enough to give you a decent feel for long irons. Eight covers that middle of your bag, and 50 is the outlier of the only wedge I really need to hit to get my distances down. The other stuff I'm never really trying to hit full besides that one, really, for the most part.
Yep. I mean, I feel 90% of the time I feel confident with a driver in my hand. So I never, I don't know when the last time I actually hit a driver on the range before playing.
I will
No.
if when I get there and I'll hit some irons and I just wanted to get that last, just loosen up, just feel what it feels like and hit it and move on. I don't,
Yeah.
we're both the same. Like the last thing I want to do is get on the range and just pummel the living hell out of a driver and then know that I'm not going to do that on the course. And
Yeah.
maybe that's a mental thing, but I
Yeah.
just want to hit it and get the feel. I half the time I won't even watch it and I just head back.
Yeah,
Let's
you just want
go.
to get loose a little bit. Because, I mean, it is. I mean, if anybody on here that's listening has done a driver fitting or done a le driver lesson, and if you're not sweating and beat after doing that for a half hour, 45 minutes, you're a machine. Because I don't, I mean, I'm good for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, and it's I don't know, I think me and you are similar. Anytime I hit a driver on a simulator, I'm like, that's not real. Because you can just walk outside, smash one, and go, okay, now what was that? Totally different feel. Like you said, you feel like you got to play a cut, or that maybe they're hooking a lot, or whatever. And you're like, that I didn't hook that. I don't know what it is. Maybe I am doing that. I just don't. I try not to take mental note of what's going on inside a simulator.
Yeah, I guess I forgot to mention too, in this winter, I plan on doing what I did last year. I went down to the MySim 3 days a week for a half hour, 45 minutes, and just practiced. We're not playing any games. I'm just setting up. I'll probably do what I did last year and go with 50 and 8 iron and set up a target with a out there at 115, and then set up another target at 155, and just 15 minutes with the 50, 15 minutes with the 8 iron 3 days a week, plus stretching during the week, and then my once a month lesson, I'll be in good shape, I think.
That's
Basically, I
pretty.
want to get back to where I was at when we went to Palm Springs.
It's pretty nuts that, well, it's not nuts, but the more you play, the better you are. I mean, it's the more you stay on top of it. There's nothing worse, and I hope everybody really takes this to heart. But there is nothing worse than finally hitting your stride with a month to go. Before the season's over. I mean, there's nothing worse than just be dropping dimes on flag sticks because you did nothing in the off season, or you waited too long to get started in the year. You didn't put the time in. And unfortunately, this is a, now, I'm not saying you can't, don't get me wrong. You can go out and have a hell of a time and play like crap. It's completely possible.
Yeah, I do that pretty much every June through August.
But when you really want to get out and you want to play well, man, it's horrible. And I've done it before. You get like a month, like right up to the end, and they're like, oh boy, I'm right in it. Well, season's over, and you're like, oh man.
I mean, all of September and October, I don't think I shot over 80. And all April and May, like I just come out like I feel like I can't miss a golf because I, from what I did
Right.
all winter long, and it's like bam, and then June hits, July hits, and I'm like, hey Jeremy, I need a 15, 20 minute like pick me up here. What the heck am I doing? Hey Jeremy,
Need
he
a
goes,
touch
hey
up,
man,
right?
you want to still overswing and not rotate all the way through? Oh okay, yep, let's try that. And it's like, oh yeah, that was easy.
Yeah, and I think another thing, if guys are, I mean, even if you're somewhat serious, and find a go get a TPI assessment.
It
Just
is
go
interesting.
get the assessment, and it doesn't even matter if you're really serious about golf, obviously, because it actually improves your life because you learn where you have these restrictions, what you need to do. They give you the exercises to help clear those up. And that, I don't care if you play pickleball, golf,
Yeah.
run around with your kids. If you can
A
get
great
rid of
mobility
things,
assessment, it
yeah.
really is. And it's fascinating. I didn't think of myself as old when I got it. I was what, 35, 34 when I did mine 2 years ago. Yeah. And I'm like, man, there's 50 and 60-year-olds that are a lot more mobile than I am. And I mean, I couldn't touch my toes last year.
Yeah, it's amazing because we don't realize what we, especially over the winter, you want to get better, but realistically, if you don't do anything like this, physically you get worse. Like if you're, oh man, I'm gonna sit down, have, three or four cocktails or beers and watch some football, and pretty soon that turns into a whole day of just sitting around, and all you're doing is everything's shortening, you're getting tighter.
I mean, kind of like what we're doing right now. We're sitting down, especially the people that work from home, or maybe you have to go into an office. Like, you got 8 to 9 hours every day where you're just on your ass, right? So you need to do something extra to keep at least maintain your mo where your mobility is at or improve it.
Yeah, I think if anybody comes away with anything from this episode, I would definitely say that go get a TPI assessment.
Yeah.
Work on your
Yeah. What
mobility.
was it? Like a, I mean, I went and got mine at the
Visit
golf
the golf
garage
garage.
or well now Golf Ness is gonna be there too. But I think it was only like $125 or something. Yeah, but it was eye-opening to me. Then like the cool thing is when I got that, like he sent that to Jeremy. He goes, oh, well, now I know why you have a hard time turning all the way through the ball because your hips don't move. Like, so like, what can we do based on your mobility to maximize your output with your current situation?
I guarantee you right now, I don't care who you are, almost I would say it's got to be high 90% of especially amateur golfers, you're going to have something to do with rotation, especially in your hips. There's no way around it. That's just what it, you're going to find that out. And it is eye-opening. When you see the things, you're going to be amazed at some of the things you can do, and you're going to be just amazed at some of the things you cannot do when they put you through that assessment. But I mean, it's like I said, it's great for all around just living. It's not just golf. It's for any sport you plan to do. Or like I said, even if you're running around the yard playing with the kids or whatever you're doing, if you make over 3 to 4 groans when you're standing up off the floor, you probably need to go get an assessment.
If you have to hold your breath while you tie your shoes, go get a TPI test.
And even if you can't find one locally, you can get on and watch plenty of videos, and they're gonna show you there, you're gonna see people and they go, oh, well, that's what this is. Now it doesn't specifically mean that's what you need to do, but it'll get you in the right area. As always, just like we talk about getting an instructor, same deal.
Yeah. I mean,
Find
just
an assessment.
YouTube yoga for golf or stretches for golf on YouTube. You'll get 1,000 plus videos of things that you can do in your living room You just need a 4x4 area of clear free space that you can lay down and start stretching. And it'll take you 15 to 20 minutes a day.
Yeah, and the biggest benefit of doing that or going to a TPI to get an assessment is the TPI assessment will tell you exactly what your issues are and will give you the exact stretches to fix those. Now, you can do overall stretching, which you should, but it's nice to know if you have an area that needs extra work. Not that this is a podcast for selling TPI. I'm just saying for in general, if you want to play better golf.
Yeah, it is nice. I mean, I had 9 dedicated exercises recommended to me based off my mobility assessment, right? You, Steve, might have had 7, or maybe you had 12,
11,
right? It doesn't matter. Like, you're going to get what you need to improve the areas where you're probably the most deficient in your ability. So it's a game changer.
Well, now that your boy brought out by your boy, I mean, Mr. Cameron jumped onto the wagon of zero torque, little to no torque, whatever you want to call it. Let's get this right now as an exclusive. John, are you jumping off the lab ship back on the Scotty Cameron ship and going to the Scotty putter?
Fastback.
Here we
I
go.
was pissed when I saw that because they were doubting the technology. And old Cameron called me up and he goes, John, I hate to do this to you.
But it's a fad. It's a fluke, John.
Getting on
The
the
lab
bandwagon,
technology doesn't work.
He's getting on the bandwagon. And I just saw the release. I mean, you saw it. As soon as they came out, the email, I already screenshot it, sent it to the group chat. If they come out with a circle T, zero torque or low torque putter and a fastback, I'm going to absolutely lose my shit. And I'm going to have to get back on the Scotty Cameron circle T bag and the circle T cash bag and the circle T towels. But I am going to get one. That fastback just looks too good.
Oh, I will agree. I was like, that fastback did that. That did look very good.
And they got that unique milling now insert that they have, which looks sexy for some reason. And I'll probably get on custom Scotty shop and get mine with, you know, it says Loft Dog or something on it. I don't know, something stupid. And I'll spend $200 extra on for no reason. But I mean, I still love my Oz putter. I mean, I will keep that. Like, that's not going anywhere. Just like my Scotty, you know, Newport isn't going anywhere. But I do want to try it just because it looks sexy. And what else are we going to do besides go blow $500, $600 on another putter that we don't need?
Yeah, I don't think I wasn't about ready to pull the trigger and reach out to Joe Para and say, I need your address. I want to ship this fastback to you. I want it blacked out, but I want the face to remain silver. And I have some whole bunch of ideas of color.
Yep.
I'm right there with you. It was pretty nice to see. And I know a lot of people were like, oh, but man, I love that Oz so much. I don't think I could ever. The only reason I would want one is just because just to have it. I don't know. I don't know if I could put the Oz away.
Yeah. I mean, it's going to be tough. I mean, I think that's why I had to get rid of the even roll because if I had the even roll sitting in the trunk, I have one bad round with my Scotty Cameron, you know, blade, and then all of a sudden I'll switch to this mallet and I'll go to that one. I don't like having that. You know,
No,
I was
me
a
neither.
big opposer of, you know, the adjustable settings on a driver when that first came out. I thought it was stupid.
I mean, I don't like that either. And I got a whole bag. Those are all putters.
Well, keep them in the house. Keep them in the house. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be different now that Scotty Cameron has this putter because if it feels just as good, and I love the way the ball feels off the face of a Scotty, like, I don't know. Won't know until I get it. I will probably be ordering that on the next commission check.
Well, I'm glad I got the exclusive on that, but I kind of figured that that's when I saw you post that, I kind of figured that may happen. There was a high likelihood.
Yep.
I think they definitely chose the right putter to do it with because I'm definitely not really a Phantom fan. That fastback has always just been clean enough. You know what I mean? It's not too big. It's not too small.
Yeah, it's a mid mallet for sure.
So yeah, I guess I can't say that I blame you. I don't know. I don't need another putter, but man, it did look good. So, John, anything else you would like to leave our listeners with as far as what your off season is? So just to recap, your goals are just kind of dial in your wedges, get your distances
Yep.
down.
Stretching. 3 days a week in the sim, practicing, 8 iron, 50-degree wedge, and then less than a month with Jeremy. That's all I'm going to be focused on. I didn't sign up for 5 iron league. I probably will play X golf with a customer buddy of mine. It'll be comped thanks to Envelope Group, and that will be. Just a 9 hole. We might get in the 9 hole league. And then probably slow down on the old alcohol consumption this winter, maybe get a little bit better better in
Dun-na-na,
shape.
dun-na-na. This just in. I wasn't expecting that exclusive.
Yeah. So I think that's where we're gonna be at this winter. And I just looked up this Titleist zero torque putter in a 33-inch, $550.
I mean, it's hard to imagine sitting here right now that that is like the norm.
The two red dots on the back of the putter and the black stripe coming across the back just make this thing look, ugh, gosh, it's too good not to have it.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty much on the same of where you're at as far as my off-season goals. It's I really need to work on my just setup and alignment. Obviously, I'll just continue doing the same stretching and stuff that I'm doing.
Yeah.
Definitely want to work on. I'm probably going to stay more of the 150 to 140 and in. Probably not going to do too much with the other clubs right now until I can get outside. Yeah, more or less the same thing. I think that a lot of people, if they followed that simple of a protocol, they could pretty much stick with it. I mean, you start adding in all these other things, you're less, the more things there are, the less like you're going to do them. I mean, I think that's been proven time and time again. It's just, if you make it way too complicated and you have to have way too many things to do what you want to do, you're never going to do it. You're always going to go, well, I got to wait till I have this, or I got to get that, or I got to order this, and then I'm going to get started. And before you do it, oh, look at that, screen shared me.
Look at that. I mean, you telling me you're not ordering this right now?
I am not ordering right now. But by the end, if you don't do these things, and by the end of the off season, you're gonna be right where you were. You weren't have gained anything, and you've
Yeah,
kind
you're
of
probably going to take a
that's
couple
how,
steps back.
yeah, which is.
Remember in high school, before we had simulators and all that stuff, like it'd take me a month just to get the feel back. So, yeah, I can't speak highly enough about doing something. Even if it's going to practice once a week. I mean,
Right.
not that expensive anymore. I mean, all the prices have come down. I saw Southern Dunes came out with the TrackMan now. They have three TrackMan bays. So I think a lot of places have TrackMans. We got another two sim places in Carmel. So they're all over. I mean, all you got to do is get online and find them. go spend at least one day a week, half hour, 45 minutes, whatever it is. If they get an hour rental, spend an hour a week to do it. Most of them are open late. We had, what was that, Five Wood Flats had the 24 access plan. This new one in Carmel has 24 hour access, so you can
There you got.
well, there's a way, put the kids to sleep and then go practice for an hour.
I'm assuming Golf Nest has got 24/7 access. I'm assuming the new place is going to be. I don't know how that's going to work out with having the fitness, how that's all combined. What a shout out. Just a shout out to those guys because what a scenario, what a setup that's going to be to have the fitness garage, have all that stuff all in one area. You'll have simulator bays, putt view. They're gonna have force. They're working on force plates and all that stuff. Man, that's gonna be
Yeah, and
3D.
two minutes away from my residence, which
Oh
is
my
scary.
God, dude. What I mean that, I mean, show of hands on State of Indiana needed that, did we not? Do we not need a place like that where you have everything together right there when you could have a TPI guy look at you and go, "Yeah, we can work on that." They can
It's
look at your
dangerous, I
swing.
know that. I mean,
Oh.
protect your wallet because, I mean, if you're getting a membership there for fitness and golf and sim play, I mean, you're probably spending 300 a month.
All this from the guy that's pulling the trigger on a $550 Cameron. Well,
It's
now
not the
that
arrow,
if you're
it's the
gonna
archer.
if you're lessening those high noons, brother, you're gonna have some extra money to pass around.
Good. Telling you.
Well, all right, everybody. We're gonna end it with that, with the breaking news of John getting a new putter and slowing down the adult style fun, and God knows what he'll be into after that. Well, he may come out of this like a Greek god time the new season
Good.
gets around.
Dude. Might be getting back into those 28 waist pants, dude.
Sheesh, hate to see it.
Kids 14, 16 t-shirt. Let's go, baby.
Well, John, as always, it's a pleasure. And as always, hey, thanks everybody for listening. And we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Have a good night, buddy.
Yep.